2016, regular session, 6 p.m. We will establish a quorum at this time.
Dennis Scott here.
Doug Yagan here.
Aaron Ward here.
Steve Martinez here.
And Kim Molex is here. I'd like to, at this time, ask you to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Are there any added agenda items?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I've got one. I have four, yes.
We need to do a bond council, approve bond council for, we're going to refinance those USDA loans. That can be at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
Hire a bond council. And the second one is a separation agreement with Scott Perkins. That one's not what's up. I don't know what's up. So I just share with Stu.
Oh,
I got to go. What's the button in the back?
Oh, no problem. Actually.
That was a resignation agreement?
No. A separation.
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 Mr. Mayor, one more added agenda item, which is to authorize the city manager to enter into a contract with Direct Drilling Incorporated.
Okay. Thank you. Hearing no further, I will proceed to the consent agenda. Is there any discussion around the consent agenda? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor, possible conflict of interest with the village wilderness service.
Thank you very much.
Speak into the mics. We just talk so that the team members are never taping it that way now.
On 5F, I had talked to the assistant city manager about possibly clarifying under customer, number two, customer, states Lapine City Hall. Where it says Lapine City Hall, Corey Ashley. Just a question that should be either the full names or Corey and Ashley.
That would be appropriate. Is there a motion to ask for that correction?
So moved.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor for the correction of the F5F of the consent agenda?
They're working on something else.
Okay. All those in favor?
That
can't
be able to use.
Aye.
Opposed?
Mayor?
Yes.
Just if I may interject, if there's an invoice from Wilderness Garbage in the consent agenda, then Stu needs to either recuse himself completely from voting on the consent agenda because of the existence of the invoice, or that invoice should be removed from the consent agenda and then voted on separately. Technically, that's the way it should be done.
Okay.
Did you get that?
Yeah. So maybe you could just one or two ways of the consent agenda each month, because it happens every month.
Yeah, I understand.
So you just don't vote on the consent agenda, or we'll have to vote for the Wilderness Garbage Bill separate each month.
Correct. And then you would remove yourself on that particular vote.
Okay. So you can talk to Corey and figure out, it doesn't matter, we just get one.
Can I also say?
Very common issue.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you want to do that at this time?
Are you going to do the voting?
We've done all the ayes.
I abstain. I abstain.
All right, thank you. Any opposed? The consent agenda is passed as corrected. This time we'll have public comment. So anybody have public comments at this time? Hearing none, I will proceed to item number 7, proclamation declaring April as Underage Substance Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. Proclamation, City of Lapine. A proclamation declaring April as Underage Substance Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. Whereas, Think Again Parents of South County TAPS is a community coalition of Lapine and Southern Deschutes County youth, schools, and county personnel, faith leaders, businesses, and agencies who are dedicated to the reduction of substance abuse in South Deschutes County. Whereas the TAPS Coalition implements proven practices designed to reduce risk factors and strengthen protective factors among youth, with statistics over the last few years showing that alcohol and tobacco use is down among South Deschutes, South County middle and high school students. And whereas substance abuse is particularly damaging to one of our most valuable resources, our children, and a contributing factor in the three leading causes of death for teenagers, accidents, homicides, and suicides. And whereas TAPS commemorates the month of April as Underage Substance Abuse Prevention Awareness Month, with increased prevention activities which reduce the abuse and underage use of alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs through community awareness and involvement, prevention education, effective prevention policy, economic support, and leadership development. And whereas the City Council is committed to strengthening our community in the battle against substance abuse by passing ordinances to guide and regulation of legalized substances, uniting community leaders, teachers, coaches, faith leaders, parents, and teens to help support prevention efforts. And therefore be it resolved that the Lapine City Council does hereby proclaim the month of April 2016 is Underage Substance Abuse Prevention Awareness Month, and hereby urges Lapine student residents to support Lapine's youth by engaging in adolescent substance abuse prevention activities. Adopted by the City Council on this 13th day of April 2016. Is there a motion to approve the proclamation?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
It's unanimously approved. Item number 8 is proclamation declaring April 2016 Parkinson's Disease Awareness Month. Proclamation, City of Lapine. A proclamation declaring April 2016 as Parkinson's Disease Awareness Month. Whereas Parkinson's disease is a chronic progressive neurological disease and is the second most common neurodegenerative disease in the United States, and whereas there is inadequate data on the incidence and prevalence of Parkinson's disease, but it is estimated to affect 500,000 to 1,500,000 people in the United States and will more than double by 2040. And whereas Parkinson's disease is the 14th leading cause of death in the United States according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and whereas it is estimated that the economic burden of Parkinson's disease is at least $14.4 billion annually, including indirect cost to patients and family members of $6.3 billion. And whereas research suggests the cause of Parkinson's disease is a combination of genetic and environmental factors, but the exact cause and progression of the disease is still unknown. And whereas there is no objective test or biomarker for Parkinson's disease, and there is no cure or drug to slow or halt the progression of the disease, and whereas increased research, education, and community support services are needed to find more effective treatments and provide access to quality care to those living with the disease today, therefore be it resolved that the Lapine City Council is hereby proclaim April 2016 Parkinson's Disease Awareness Month and hereby urges Lapine residents to support Parkinson's Disease Awareness Month, adopted by the Lapine City Council this 13th day of April 2016. Any discussion? Hearing none, all of those in favor? Is there a motion to approve the proclamation?
I so move.
It's been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimously approved. Item number nine is a proclamation declaring April the 10th through the 16th as Week of the Young Child. Proclamation, City of Lapine. Proclamation declaring April the 10th through the 16th, 2016, Week of the Young Child. Whereas, Healthy Beginnings, in conjunction with agency members of Partnerships for Young Children, and the Central Oregon Chapter of the Oregon Association for the Education of Young Children, are celebrating the Week of the Young Child, April the 10th through the 16th. And whereas these organizations are working to improve early learning opportunities, including early literacy programs that can provide a foundation for learning for children in Deschutes County, and whereas by calling attention to the need for high quality early childhood services for all children and families within our community and state, these groups hope to improve the quality and availability of such services, and whereas public policies that support early learning for all children, young children, are crucial to young children's futures, and whereas the future of our community and state depend on the quality of the early childhood experiences provided to young children today, therefore be it resolved that the Lapine City Council does hereby proclaim April the 10th through the 16th as the Week of the Young Child, and hereby urges Lapine citizens to support Lapine's young children, adopted by the Lapine City Council this 13th day of April 2016. Is there any discussion?
Yes. Are we putting any signs out, or are we doing anything for these proclamations?
We approve the proclamation.
We're just approving the proclamation.
Right.
We aren't putting posters or anything to do anything.
No.
Okay, we'll discuss that next year.
These are done at the request of various people to get them. We're not, you know, there's nothing for them. We are out doing. Cities routinely do proclamations, but there's no role. If there's some event, the mayor or someone would go ceremonially, but we're not.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any further? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve this proclamation?
I so move.
Moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimously approved. Item number 10. Ordinance number 2016-01, an ordinance of the City of Lapine declaring a ban on recreational marijuana retailers, referring ordinance and declaring an emergency. I'll open the public hearing at this time and accept staff reports.
We'll let Jeremy work on this one. He's been doing this all around, so he's good at this. Good evening, Council. In front of you is ordinance number 2016-01. We actually have discussed this particular ordinance numerous times. As you may recall, this is a referring ordinance, meaning that this ordinance will ultimately, if approved, be referred to the voters in November of this year for approval.
This ordinance operates to prohibit the retail sale of recreational marijuana. The other recreational operations, specifically wholesalers, producers, processors, and medical marijuana facilities are not prohibited by virtue of this ordinance. If you are to pass this ordinance, we will then send tonight, we will send notice to the state agency that this ordinance was passed. They will discontinue or refrain from issuing any licenses related to recreational retail establishments pending the outcome of the vote in November of 2016.
Okay, thank you very much. Council, any questions of the staff at this time? Any discussion?
Mayor, actually, you will now refer it out to, but ask for public comments.
Right. Okay. Is there public comment at this time? I have no indication that there is. Hearing none, I will close the public hearing and ask council for deliberations.
Well, I think we've discussed this numerous times, and this is the outcome that we're going to look for lunch. Simple as that.
Kathy?
I agree. I think we need to go ahead and accept this ordinance.
Okay. Karen?
I agree. I think we've talked it to death.
Stu?
Nothing else to say. It's been discussed. We've held public hearings about this for probably 4 or 5, 6 months now. And in front of the public, we've discussed our thoughts about referring this to the voters within the city of Lapine. And let them decide. And if they decide for it, then as far as I'm concerned, then we're bound by the voters within the city of Lapine. So that's it.
Okay. My comments follow the same as Councilor Martinez's, and I feel totally the same way. So I will ask the council, is there a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-01?
Moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. They approved. Item number 11 is ordinance number 2016-02. An ordinance of the City of Lapine imposing a 3% tax on the sale of marijuana items by a marijuana retailer and referring ordinance. I will open the public hearing at this time and ask staff for comments.
Thank you, Mayor. So ordinance number 2016-02 is an ordinance that will again be referred to the voters if approved this evening. If approved by the voters, this ordinance operates to assess a 3% tax on the recreational retail sale of marijuana, up to 3%, actually it is 3%, which is the most that is permitted under state legislation, House Bill 3400, which again we discussed at length last year. So I have nothing to add. Again, you've seen this ordinance. Isn't the first time for you all to be presented with this particular ordinance. What I didn't add in last discussion is that ultimately we will bring back to you a referring resolution, which will be the instrument that technically refers then the ballot to your November ballot. So this is the ordinance that's adopted now. We'll bring back a resolution to you in July, probably June or July, which will ultimately send it to the county.
Okay. Council, any comments or questions? At this point on that?
No, again, we've discussed this for months.
Okay. Anybody else? I will ask for public comments at this time. Is there any public comments on ordinance 2016-02? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing and ask for council deliberations.
Let's get it up for vote and get this decided.
Okay. Patty?
Same.
Karen?
Sure. Get it out there, whatever happens, happens, and move forward.
I agree, and I think it's a perfect opportunity to present it to the voters and let the voters decide. So I will ask for a motion to approve ordinance 2016-02.
I so move.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I will. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ordinance 2016-02 is unanimously approved. Item number 12 is ordinance number 2016-03, an ordinance further amending ordinance number 2012-05, revising certain definitions and uses permitted in certain zones, and suspending all other ordinances or parts of ordinances in conflict herewith. I will open the public hearing at this time and ask staff again to speak to us.
I'll take care of that, Mr. Mayor. Since this is the first time that council is hearing this ordinance, I'd like to step through each proposed amendment and discuss them so that we can make sure any questions are answered. The first thing I'd like to address is the general process and what we're requesting. I'll review the proposed text amendments to the zoning ordinance, give a brief summary of the staff report, and then a quick summary of the public comments that were received via written documentation.
Okay.
So for the process, because this is the first time you're hearing this, we will go through all the detailed items, but we are also asking for approval of this ordinance in the single meeting. Because we're asking for that in a single meeting, the vote does need to be unanimous for this to be adopted. So looking at the amendments, the best way to go through that probably is through the Exhibit A to Ordinance 2016-03. And it starts on page 1 of Exhibit A. The first set of amendments are to the table of contents. You'll note that some of these are housekeeping edits, some of them are substantive edits, and I'll just mention those as we go through them. So the first amendment to the table of contents is to amend Section 3 title to Community Development Objectives, inserting development. That is simply to align the section title in the table of contents with the body of the ordinance. Second proposed amendment is to amend Section 7 title, insert application for land use, remove zoning, permit, certificate of use and occupancy. Again, that's just a proposed amendment to align that table of contents with the body of the text and the title. The third one is amend Section 19 title, off-street loading and parking, removing parking and loading, just a technicality, making sure it aligns perfectly with the body of the text. The next one is to remove the special note at the bottom of the table of contents, which reads, and this is the section that I'm proposing be removed, a special note, given that the City Transportation System Plan, TSP, is not yet complete, any property that must retain current Deschutes County zoning until the TSP is adopted and the city has rezoned the properties. That is being requested or approved, or excuse me, proposed to be removed because the TSP is being referenced in these proposed amendments. And then the other amendment for the table contents would be to update the page numbers on the table contents as well as the pagination throughout the whole document. The second proposed amendment is in Section 8, the definitions, some definitions being amended and a few being inserted. The first proposal is to insert a definition of fairgrounds to read, fairgrounds, a facility utilized as an event venue for spectator and non-spectator field or arena events, such as rodeos, animal shows, equestrian events, festivals, as well as uses accessory to the main events, including concerts, parking, concession sales, souvenir sales, and amusement rides. The second definition amendment proposal is to the definition for recreation, large land area commercial recreation. The proposal is to insert two sections of wordings. I'll go ahead and read it so that it makes sense in the entirety. A for-profit or fee-based recreational facility located on 10 or more acres, inserting in whole or as an accumulation of individual parcels, in which the recreation activity is primarily outdoors and conducted on land typically requiring large land area, including but not limited to a golf course, horseback riding area, insert fairgrounds, hunting or fishing preserve, or paintball. The next proposed amended definition is yard. The proposal is to remove that first section that says an occupied space other than a court on the same lot within a building, unobstructed artificially from the ground to the sky, except as otherwise provided herein, and replace that with the space contained within the area along the horizontal distance measured at right angles between the property lot line and the nearest wall of the building structure on the lot. That amendment is to alleviate the issues that might arise with somebody that might want to put a fountain in or a sculpture in. It just cleans up the definition of that yard when defining a setback of a yard. The third set of amendments fall in Section 10, Permitted Uses, the zoning ordinance. The first one being in the residential zones, RSF and RMF. Under conditional uses, there is a use listed as personal storage units on a minimum lot acre of 5 acres. The proposal is just to remove on a minimum lot area of 5 acres to provide Planning Commission and Council more flexibility as to what they consider in a conditional use for that use. Under Section A, Additional Regulations for Single Family Zones, proposal is to add a third bullet to read, no metal shipping container shall be utilized as a dwelling at any time or as storage structures for greater than 30 days. Next section is for the traditional commercial zone. Under principal uses, proposal to insert clinic in principal uses. Clinic is already defined in the zoning ordinance, and it, I believe, was intended to be inserted in the commercial zone, since I think it's just a cleaning up amendment. The second proposal is to strike the second listing of public non-commercial parks and recreation. Again, that's just a house cleaning issue. It's already listed once under principal uses, so it's just removing a second reference to that. In the mixed-use commercial zone, a similar amendment under principal uses, insert clinic. In the additional commercial use regulations, First Amendment proposed to bullet 3, I'll read from the beginning. Any business, servicing, or processing shall be conducted within a completely enclosed building except for parking and loading facilities, removing, and for drive-in type establishments offering goods or services to customers waiting in parked motor vehicles, replacing that with restaurant patios, drive-throughs for services or goods, or as otherwise approved by the city. That is to clean up that regulation to allow things like outdoor seating at restaurants or maybe sidewalk sales, something that gives the city and the businesses within the city some more flexibility to have some outdoor commerce. Bullet number 4, proposal is to insert the sentence, metal shipping containers shall not be placed on site with the exception of short-term use for construction or relocations, 30 days or less. In the buffering and screening requirements, this is a cleanup housekeeping amendment to bullet number 1, to insert CRMX and CMX to the first sentence to read, a buffer strip at least 10 feet wide shall be provided and maintained along the entire length of the side or rear yard where it abuts an RSF, RMF, RMP, CRMX, CMX, or TA zone. This, I mentioned, is a cleanup issue because those are referenced in the intro sentence right above this first bullet, but it just wasn't carried through. Section 10, for the transition areas. This is a housekeeping issue. Instead of saying all permitted residential and commercial uses, proposals say all principal residential and commercial uses. Amendment 4, to Section 13, site plan review. The first proposal is to remove the first Section 13 site plan review heading, moving those general conditions under the second Section 13 site plan review heading. That is a housekeeping issue, doesn't change the content. There just happen to be two Section 13 headings in the site plan review section of the zoning ordinance, so it cleans it up and makes it a lot clearer for applicants as well as city staff on what needs to be reviewed. Section 13, site plan review. E, site plan review criteria 2. These are the specific criteria that are listed in the site plan review section for the city to review applications by. And there are proposals to insert several at the end of that. So the first one would be to bullet G, inserting the sentence, metal shipping containers shall not be placed on site with the exception of storage uses within the industrial zone. Inserting a new bullet H, the proposed site plan conforms to the standards within the adopted the Pine Transportation System Plan, TSP, as may be amended from time to time unless other design standards are specifically approved by the city. This is to make the requirements of the TSP a site plan review criteria. The TSP was adopted a couple years ago as the guiding transportation plan for the city, and in order for it to be enforced with site plan review criteria, we need it referenced in this document. It has been already adopted into the amended comprehensive plan. Bullet I, the proposed site plan conforms to the Lapine sewer and water standards as may be amended from time to time unless other design standards are specifically approved by the city. All sewer improvements must comply with Oregon Administrative Rules, Chapter 340, Division 52 requirements, including Appendix A sewer pipelines. Bullet J, the proposed site plan conforms to the Central Oregon Stormwater Manual, COSM, as may be amended from time to time unless other design standards are specifically approved by the city. And bullet K, all utilities shall be installed underground unless otherwise specifically approved by the city. Continuing in section 13 in the landscaping requirements, bullet 2, the proposal is to insert CRMX. Both CRMX and CMX were not included in this list, and so we are cleaning it. We'd like to clean up the ordinance to have them included in the landscaping requirements. So bullet 2 would read, multifamily dwelling complexes contain 4 or more units, inserting, and commercial residential mixed uses, CRMX, 20%. Bullet 3, commercial uses, remove not the C zones, so that it does apply to all commercial uses, and insert including mixed-use commercial CMX of 15%. These are referencing the landscaping coverage requirements on a lot when we receive a site plan application. So those are the proposed text amendments. Just a quick summary of the staff report. I think, as you know, the public hearing was held before the Planning Commission on March 16th. After public hearing, the Planning Commission voted to recommend the amendments for approval by City Council. To address statewide planning goals, there are a few that do apply to these amendments. First one, goal of citizen involvement. Notice was posted and published in accordance with both local and state law. Goal 2, land use planning. Goal 2 requires periodic review and amendments to ordinances needed, which is what is occurring here. Goal 6 and 7, air, water, and land resources quality and natural hazards. The proposed amendments are consistent with these goals. Goal 6, as it would require approved water, sewer, and stormwater management practices and design standards for all site plan applications, providing improved oversight over the site design of elements that affect air, water, and land resources. And similarly for goal 7, with natural hazards, by requiring specific validated design standards, the city can strengthen the infrastructure to better withstand natural hazards, as well as having appropriately designed stormwater controls on individual properties can reduce impacts due to flooding. Goal 8, recreational needs. The proposed amendments do encourage increased recreation open to the public by including the fairgrounds in the definition of large land area of commercial recreation. Goal number 9, economic development. These amendments explicitly call out clinic as the principal use in the commercial zone, providing more opportunities for those sorts of uses, as well as more outdoor businesses such as restaurant patios and drive-thrus. And goal 12, the adoption of the transportation system plan into the amendment, excuse me, of the transportation system plan into the zoning ordinance allows the city the ability to enforce the requirements of the TSP as have been adopted into the comprehensive plan. And that concludes my summary, my quick summary of the staff report. We did receive one public comment via a letter from Mr. Scott Henderson that I think was included as an amendment to your packet. There are a number of things that he brought up in his letter that relate to a number of discussions he's having with the city right now. Because this is attached to this particular ordinance and text amendments, I'll just address the ones that relate to these text amendments. The first one he brings up is referencing the TSP, the Transportation System Plan. He's concerned that requiring the TSP to be implemented on private properties should be more of a balance between private and public funds. And the one comment I would reference on that is that the TSP is triggered during site plan review only for, single family properties. So if you have a commercial property that has more impacts than say a single family property would, so that warrants more improvements. And I know you probably had time to read his letter, but he's just stating that he thinks it's too much to ask for an individual property owner to put in sidewalks and planter strips. And I just want to note that that would be for, not for single family residents. He also references being concerned with the street widths that are required within the TSP. The TSP at this point has already been adopted. It was developed and studied by a transportation firm and adopted into the comprehensive plan. So it's not something that we can address at this time as far as changing those specific lane widths. He mentions his STC charges. That's not referenced in this text amendment, so I won't focus on that right now. And his final comment is regarding the banning of permanent use of shipping containers. He says it sounds good. He just wants us, the council, to consider the ones that already exist. And I would just like to point out that the text amendments only address new shipping containers. They do not address existing ones, and those would need to be addressed separately under a separate ordinance with some sort of consideration of phase out and timing, but that's not being addressed right now. So I will take any questions that you have on those amendments.
Council has questions of planning director. Stu?
Okay. Did everybody understand all this?
No.
Okay. For it to come to, and as I understand it, you want, or somebody wants this passed tonight.
That was the goal, yes. But I'm happy to answer.
I can't do that.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, there's a lot of good work in here, but for myself, I started reading this the other night, and I had no idea what I was reading.
Council, what I'd like to do at this point in time, we really need to move to public comments, and there is a period in this open public hearing that will allow us to make our comments associated with this. So I will open it to public comments at this time and ask for anybody that understood it and has a comment about it to make comment.
I kind of want to clarify.
My name is Kevin. Please state your name. Join us in the chair. And
my name is Kevin Haas.
Kevin
Haas? Haas.
Where do you live?
51473 Hahn.
Okay.
I just want to clarify about the shipping containers. She mentioned that the existing containers are going to be okay. Because I know a lot of people bought their properties with shipping containers already on them, and that was part of the sale. I mean, myself included, you know, that was part of me buying the property was a shipping container, which I use as storage, has electricity to it. So you said something about phasing it out. I just kind of want to clarify that.
Respond to?
Yeah,
right now? Okay. Right, the text amendments right now don't reference anything existing on site. That's correct. That would have to be in a separate ordinance, which has not been drafted or discussed at this point. So that would be a different public hearing.
Great. That's all I wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further?
My name's Scott Henderson.
Speak into the mic, would you, Scott?
My name is Scott Henderson.
I can push the button then.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay. We'll try this again. My name's Scott Henderson.
I can pull the mic forward.
You don't have to. Okay. There wasn't a lot of detail. I didn't know where to get a lot of detail on some of the things. So my letter was kind of broad. For me, it's moving pretty fast. You guys have been dealing with some of this stuff for a long time. But curiosity, the addition of the transportation requirements like into the site plan review, what does that really mean? How does it impact? Is that something we can talk about? Or, because it's not an ordinance yet, and yet I'm being asked to follow some of the guidelines. So. To me, it's kind of a gray area there.
I understand your question to be around the system, transportation system.
Right.
Okay. Well, it's been approved as part of the comprehensive plan, and as I know that it is in effect. So we're following that. As a zoning and planning document.
Okay, so that doesn't have to become a city ordinance to follow that in your planning then?
Mr. Mayor, so the TSP was a requirement by the state of Oregon when the city was incorporated. They require, in fact, they funded it, it was a $100,000 study, and if you don't have one, you can't have a comprehensive plan. Comprehensive plan is required by the state of Oregon to be a city. We had a TSP, transportation system plan, done. And it's been sitting there. All cities, it is referenced in the ordinance so that then it can be enforced and it becomes part of, you know, the planning, basically the plan review process. It has to be included in this, and so that we can then refer to it. They spent a year on that. They had numerous meetings. The roads need to be a certain width as you grow. They have to be wider. You have to have room for sidewalks. You have to have room for some of these things. And as you develop out, the plan calls for what you have to do. And it is done in all 260 cities, 42. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would be the only city without that, basically. I mean, yeah, so this is one that you definitely have to include, or else you don't need a transportation system plan. It's just a nice $100,000 document sitting on a shelf.
Okay. Did that work for you, Scott?
Kind of. So is it ever going to become an ordinance, or is it just something that's going to be followed as you go through planning? And I guess maybe you guys will figure out.
It's going to be part of the ordinance. Now, it's addressing the transportation system plan. Over time, that plan will change. So it can be amended. If people feel that a road that you can have two cars go down with the yellow line is too wide, you want them narrow where, you can only have one lane, the council can adopt that. So this refers to the transportation system plan. The one we have today is not the one that will be here 10, 20 years from now. It is updated periodically. And so the requirements we have in place today and the plan we have would be incorporated into our ordinances, and you will have to follow.
I think I'm getting it, and I guess my understanding is that as they move forward, we'll just continue to work on trying to meet those requirements and see how they work out. I was just under the impression that it wasn't an ordinance, and so, like, I didn't have to dedicate, in certain sense, in an instance where maybe I went to full commercial, then I'd have to dedicate something, some property to this. Right now, I'm being asked to just follow a setback that isn't really recorded, like as an easement. So it was confusing to me as I moved through that, whether or not I really had to follow that at the time for what I was doing.
I can clarify that a little bit. Scott and I have talked a bit on this issue, as well as with Corey. There have been no right-of-way dedication requests made of Mr. Henderson at this point from one of his previous applications. What was requested is an increased setback because of potential developments along Finley Butte. No dedications have been requested, though, at this point. And I think he's trying to get clarification on when maybe would those dedications be required. And at this point, his application is a single-family property, which doesn't fall under the site plan review application.
Okay. Scott, you got that?
I think I just need to keep working on it. I was just really worried about what was happening and felt like too much was being taken at the time. So that's new to me. So I think I'm okay, unless you guys have questions for anything I did. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
We are at any further public comment? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing and we'll go to council deliberations. And Councilor Martinez.
I only asked my question.
Okay. So. Dennis?
There's too much in here. I don't feel comfortable about what we've done until I look at it more closely and ask questions and go through it.
Probably, if that's where we're going to go, what we'll need to do is if we could continue this till what we'll do is have a special meeting at our work session for the first part of it in 2 weeks. It's fairly important for St. Charles Medical, and we don't meet till the third week of May. So, I know it's overwhelming, and so it should be. If you actually look at it, 90% of what's on there isn't a change. It's just where it's underlined, and it's like adding the word clinic in a commercial zone. You know, it's saying we had a mixed-use commercial by omission. You had to have a certain amount of landscaping in a zone, but they left off mixed-use commercial. This is just because we're a new city and you have new ordinances, new zoning ordinances. It's kind of cleaning those up. It really isn't particularly adding anything that's very actually controversial at all. And it's house cleaning.
Tammy, if you could maybe articulate the path that what they see in front of them has taken as well over the last month and a half through the public noticing and the planning commission and the public hearing there and then the open house. So just...
Oh, sure, just the general process to get to this point?
Yeah, this isn't something that we just put together last
time. Absolutely, and if this is the appropriate time, I'm happy to go through any of the ordinance amendments again, one by one, to make you feel more comfortable and really talk them through. But a little background, we met with the Planning Commission several months ago to discuss all of these issues. A number of these things were, like Rick said, clerical fixes. There are things that the city has been keeping track of over the last 6 months that have come up as we're reading the ordinance of either typos or words in the wrong place, as well as needing to have the site plan criteria better organized in one location for ease of city staff as well as applicants to know what they need to address. So we met with the Planning Commission a couple of months ago in a workshop setting, probably a couple different times, to walk them through and have them understand what the proposed amendments were. They were noticed publicly, posted pre-Planning Commission hearing in the regular locations around town as well as on the website and noticed in the newspaper. The Planning Commission felt comfortable after many of our discussions talking about it, then line by line, voted unanimously to recommend approval to you all. And then again, this hearing was publicly noticed in the usual locations around town on the website as well. So we could get as many comments as possible. We have not received, other than Mr. Henderson's letter that I referenced, we've not received any feedback written or in a public hearing format at this point.
I think for me, having you just now say that that the Planning Commission has recommended this to the council after deliberation and work through for approval.
Yes, sir, and they did it unanimously as a unanimous vote.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That helps me a lot.
Okay.
So,
are there any specific ones that we can talk through a little bit more in detail to answer more questions and get more background on for you?
Dennis?
No, I'd have to sit down and look at it. No.
We could just continue.
For me,
you could, 2 weeks. You could continue.
Kathy?
For me, it did help to hear that, and then I can focus just on the changes, and that clarified a lot. For me, the overwhelming package was too much for me to take in, but when I can see the difference, when I can understand the wording change and it all makes sense, then I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
Well, I'm a little confused. Doesn't take much to confuse me, though. I live in an area where there are horses, chickens, and otherwise. You've changed that zone to a different zone that says after those horses and chickens have disappeared or whatever, they can't be replaced in that area. So where in Lapine, and I say in the 7.5 miles of Lapine, can an individual have a horse?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that amendment is in, or the comment is in reference to. It doesn't relate to any of these proposed text amendments. Happy to look into some of the history on that, but it's not related to anything here tonight.
Karen, in terms of zoning and for the public as well, we have a lot in motion. So these are some text amendments, and then there's also the legislative rezone process, which is switching the cable area from rural residential 10-acre minimum to the city's zone of residential single family. That will be an item in the next month that the council has an opportunity to discuss and weigh in on.
And just
but that's not addressed in.
As a side note on that, there's no specific reference to horses or chickens in that.
No, the same restrictions that apply now, those will not change. It is,
okay. You know what? You can have 2 horses per acre. Yeah. And you can have 12 chickens.
Per half acre.
Yeah, no roosters. And the mayor has chickens and no roosters. So, no. And you can have 2.
And they lay eggs.
You can have 2 sheep per acre.
The people in the area were just asking whether that would change. That made me ask the question of you. Thank you.
Okay. Councilor Martinez.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Damn light. There it is. Okay. So the Planning Commission had this a couple months ago.
We went to them in a workshop format several months ago. They had a public hearing on March 16th.
And it was approved unanimously.
Yes.
And then we just received it tonight.
Yes. Well, in your packet last week, probably, but. For
hearing
tonight,
but yes. To ask questions would be, tonight would be the first time we had an opportunity to ask questions.
That is true.
Okay. Because I recall another issue that the Planning Commission approved unanimously, and the planner, before you were here, told me there would be a chance to ask questions before it came to the council. That never happened. And I never got to ask my questions. And the zone change happened. So that's why I'm a little leery about just...
I understand, yeah. I think it's very reasonable. Yeah. We can...
just to be safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can extend this.
We'll have that.
We
can schedule that. Continue the hearing then to a date certain. Identify the date that the hearing will be continued.
What's our 4th? 27th.
Okay. We just have it at 6 p.m.
have it that first on the agenda for that, then we go into work session.
Okay.
So well, special meeting, and this is continued. There's no go here, and then you open it back up again there, or you can close the public comment here, or you can open it again there, whichever you want.
Yeah. Right. So you're going to make a motion to continue the hearing until the date that right
27th.
Okay.
Okay. Is there a motion to continue the hearing until the 27th?
I make that motion.
This month.
And I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to continue the hearing until April 27th. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 It's and opposed? It's unanimously approved to continue the hearing. Okay. Item number 13, approval of land purchase option agreement and memorandum of understanding with BioGreen.
Okay. BioGreen, it's back. It never left. It's just a marathon. So we've been working for months on a new agreement with BioGreen. All of you, or I should say many of you, toured the Alike plant in Eugene last week. Which council members were there? You might raise your hand so people know who was there. And myself and Corey, and we had some business leaders here in the community, and so we spent an afternoon in Eugene at the Seneca plant. And I think they gave everyone a chance to see what one like about the same size and how one would operate. And I think everyone was pretty impressed with it. So BioGreen, as you know, came around in 2009, and they had, with the county, they had an option agreement on the land there at in the industrial park on 19.5 acres, give or take, and that would be refined when they actually do it, but that's about where we were. And they had an option, and then it was extended, I think, three times. And that expired a little over a year ago. And we started back 6 months ago or so, 5 months ago, working on a new agreement that, because the city, as you well know, we have an intergovernmental agreement. We've taken over, we negotiate the leases and options and things for the county on their behalf. However, it's still their land, and they sign off on it. So we spent some time on that, worked that all through. We had a session and discussed some of those issues here a week or two ago, and the things that we needed. And I think one of the big areas, and I think some of you might find interesting, was the decommissioning. And that will be part of a future agreement, but it's required to have it. Decommissioning of a power plant is important because power plants sometimes get left behind when their useful life is up. And so one of the requirements, and why it took us a little bit of time, and we had, you know, it took some tough negotiating, was the requirement for a decommissioning. So if the plant is half built and isn't completed, if it shuts down during its life because of change of ownership, change of markets, whatever, or it becomes obsolete and it's no longer going to be used. And I think you all picture the old wigwam burners sitting around from mills that have long closed. Mm-hmm. And to avoid that in our industrial park, we required decommissioning requirement, so it will have to put out. And thanks to work by Jeremy and those guys, it's also, regardless of ownership changes, it stays with the property. Correct, Jeremy?
Yep, it will.
So we're trying to look out long beyond all of our involvement. This is 20 to 30 years out, and so someone may thank us two or three decades from now that this was done. There are industrial parks in the state of Oregon that have abandoned plants, and they wish they had done that. So anyway, that's what took some time, and thanks for the council for allowing us to spend that extra time. And you have to go through some of those emotional ups and downs that are required. But at the end of the day, I think we have a great project, that hopefully will come to fruition. Now, what you're signing tonight would be, and normally we don't bring them here for a discussion like this on the leases because it's ultimately the county and we kind of agree. This one is a major, bigger deal. So this is a 3-year option. BioGreen will pay us $10,000, which the county they will get paid and they'll get half back to us. But it'll be a $5,000 each or a $10,000 option. They have a 2-year extension, and they would pay another amount of money if they wanted. So 5 years maximum, 3 plus 2. And before before they can close on the option, we will have had to negotiate the decommissioning, a water services agreement, that is how they're going to use our water, how much they're going to pay for water, and how they're going to handle wastewater, so septic side of it, because gallons go in and some gallons come out, a lot less go out, because most is steam. But those are real important to us, and so before they can exercise the option to actually buy the property, those agreements have to be worked out. So we push some of those things down the road, knowing we're going to have to work on those in the next 3 to 5 years. But they have to go out and find a power purchase agreement. In other words, they need a customer to buy the power before they will close on the lot and move forward. And then when you get into alternative fuels like windmills, solar, and biomass plants, they're very tricky. There's lots of moving parts to it, and so it's kind of all the green energy requirements, and they got to go find a customer that that they can sign a contract with for 20 years, and then you get into the financing side. So this is a complicated project that we will be on top of for years to come, and so there'll be other decisions down the road by far if this moves forward. But at this time, we'll go. The county met today. Jan, do you know if they approved? I'm assuming they did. It was on the consent agenda.
Yeah, I presume they did.
So the county, it had on their agenda today. No one called and said it was on their consent agenda, so that's a pretty good idea that it was going to be passed. And they also were aware of this, and we've worked on it with them. So what we'd ask you guys to do tonight is to authorize our signing of the option agreement with BioGreen. And the MOU. So MOU need to be approved, Jeremy, that we have the MOU. That's between us and the city, so
yes,
the MOU
should be
okay.
As well.
The other part would be, so we'll have two motions. One would be to approve the option agreement. And the second one we'll get to is our MOU. So maybe we'll take them one at a time. And any questions you have?
I would point out that it is interesting that we get to negotiate the complex agreements after Rick has left.
Okay. Council, is there any discussion or further questions or anything like that? Stu?
Rick, could you maybe on the trip, on the tour over there, and afterwards, discussion was brought up about where the biomass plant is, since nobody's been hearing about it, but what's holding it up right now over in Salem?
Oh, well, that's the land use side.
Yes, that. Okay. Yeah.
It's
already been approved.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good reminder. This has been so long, it's hard for people. In fact, I think I'd say not one of you were elected when Kitty was not here, because Kitty was the mayor. So unless you were on the council, I know you weren't here. And I don't think either of you were. I was. But it went through a land use process. At the time, Deschutes County was doing our land use work because we didn't have an approved comp plan. Starting a city is not easy, and it takes a long time. And as we always say, Damascus learned the hard way, and they're going away after a decade. So we did get our comp plan approved, but this was done before. So the county, we contracted with the county to do land use planning, and so it was their staff that worked this. And then we decided with Mayor Shields, and I believe Mr. Don Greiner sitting there, and Doug Ward. So actually three of the five are just sitting here. We held a hearing, and we went to the senior center and had a full house. And this would have been in about 2011, I believe. Could have been late, I think 11.
It was 11.
Had it 11, because I didn't come here until 10. So they held hearings, and it was approved by the city council, and the staff for that was split between the city and the county. But then what happened, the labor unions filed an appeal with the Land Use Board of Appeals, LULA. And the labor unions supported the project, but they have a history of doing this, and they were opposed to the plant solely because they would not sign an agreement that required all construction workers to be union members. And the company resisted that,
So they then appealed it, not because they were against the project, it's because they couldn't get a labor agreement that they could construct the plant. I've always found that kind of interesting how that plays out. And they have a history of doing that around the country. So anyway, it is on appeal. It is what they call, it's in abeyance, I guess is the term, Jeremy. Both parties have agreed. The union is now saying they're okay, BioGreen is okay, to set it aside. So one of the other issues, besides the ones I mentioned, would be they will have to re-engage LUBA and settle, which the two parties can do. Or one party wouldn't, of course, it could continue and play out in LUBA. The point that Stu wanted is it actually, it will not, like tonight, it will not come back here for a land use decision. Normally, a land use decision, when you get approval, it's good for 2 years. And after 2 years, it expires. Once it goes to LUBA, it's held. That two-year clock doesn't start. So for 5 years, it has sat in abeyance, so the two-year clock has never started. And one of the things we've talked about, and I think at some point and you could express it, what I have told BioGreen is that this extension should be our last. And that's because at that point you would be out 3 years on the option, and then they have 2 years to start. We're out another five. We would then be 2021. And this was approved by a council in 2011. And I think we all agree that at some point, you need to revisit all the issues. And you have new councils and new mayors and new rules and new state laws and new local rules. So we're excited about this. And we're glad to see it try to move forward. And, you know, we've been very supportive with BioGreen and working with BioGreen. And I want to thank Janet back from EDCO. EDCO played a very role, Roger Lee and EDCO, Jeremy and the other attorney sitting here sits quietly, no one knows he's sitting there. Alan, he's our backup. You know, we spent a lot of hours, a lot of conference calls, and a lot of face-to-face with the principals. And this is, this is the end result. So that's, you know, the longer you want, that's kind of the history of it. It has been so long, probably half the population wasn't here when we approved it. Because people move around quicker than you think.
Okay. Any other discussion, council?
Yeah, I'm very confident. You know, these guys worked on it so hard, and I know Rick got frustrated at it at times. I'm very confident that they, you know, dotted all the I's, crossed the T's on this.
Okay, Kathy?
It was an amazing facility, and I think everything's ready to go.
Okay. Karen, anything? Okay. There's no further discussion, then I'll ask for a motion to approve the option agreement.
I make a motion to approve the option agreement.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's unanimously approved. The option agreement is. And now we'll go to the MOU.
Okay, the Memorandum of Understanding was an additional document that we worked out between the parties, and it's kind of an agreement to agree. However, it's not binding for the most part. And so, and you remember some discussions about things were added and taken out and stuff. So it kind of gives you a general understanding of where we think we're headed. But we wanted to make sure anything that was real important is in either in the binding section or in the option agreement. And the real important ones are in the option agreement. However, two exceptions are, in the Memorandum of Understanding, the special districts that operated the sewer and water systems prior to the city's assumption had entered into an agreement with BioGreen to provide sewer and water services. Those agreements have sat out there during these years and are outdated and will not function for what we're going to do in the future. So in this MOU, there is a binding section that repeals those two agreements upon signature. So those will go away and they will not be binding on either party into the future. And that was important for us and BioGreen. We wanted to get those out of there before we move forward on anything else. Any other comment? Nope.
Well done, Ryan.
Okay. I think we've in work session we've worked through this and have a pretty good feel for it. So I'll ask for discussion. Hearing none, then I will move to ask for a motion to approve the MOU between the City of LaPine and BioGreen as presented.
I make a motion to approve the memorandum of understanding.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I will all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's approved unanimously.
Mayor, would you like to take a break? We have some staff changes moving about.
Barely beat me to it. We'll take 5-minute break.